sense perceptions. This is why we placed importance here on perceiving. And the amazing thing is you perceive without trying to fit the sense perceptions into your narrative. If you're sitting in that little room with barred windows, and if you looked around, you would be relating your sense perceptions to the narrative in your mind, the story of me. This is what the world has done to me. They have put me here. Even when I was a child, the world was unfair to me. And they treated me badly. And now they have put me here. They did that to me. This is where I've ended up. And all the details of my story. Every sense perception you would try to fit into the story of me. It's an unhappy story. In that case and in many other cases, it's an unhappy story. And even if it's a happy story, you're sitting in a limo, a chauffeur-driven limo. It's picked you up from the airport. And you can tell yourself a story there too. And that looks like a happy story. You see the drinks there that are arranged. You can take any bottle. You can air conditioned. Everything is, and you say, I made it. You have another story. And again, stories have the tendency of being satisfying for a while, and then changing or no longer working to satisfy you. The next time you could be sitting in the limo feeling how empty that is to be sitting. It's no longer fulfilling to my story. After a while it's normal and you need something else and this isn't doing it anymore. Or you might even do the opposite. Why am I sitting in this limo when everybody else is so poor? I shouldn't be here. Again, some new story develops and you suddenly feel guilty about sitting in this limo. Another story. They change. Let's go back to the man sitting in a little room with barred windows, who is then attempting to fit the sense perceptions into the story. And that's, of course, not presence. It's to stay with the perceptions without the story in that alertness. There's just this. And it's enough. Without the projection of your personal self onto them. Because when you project, you have a personal and unhappy relationship with the prison cell that you're sitting in. If you have a personal relationship with the prison cell, it's a very unhappy place. Or whatever place. But if you can take the story out of this moment, and just be with the simplicity of this moment, even the wall of the prison cell has an aliveness and a beauty to it. And you see it directly without needing thought processes to convince yourself that it has an aliveness and a beauty to it. You see it directly. And people have gone through that transformation in prison cells. I'm using that as an example of what would usually be called an extremely undesirable life situation. But you can take any situation. Are you completely in the story as you're going from A to B? Or are you present to your sense perceptions? And by being present to your sense perceptions too, auditory, visual, become a portal into something that is deeper than the perceptions. When the alertness arises towards sense perception, then that alertness reveals itself as very deep. And that takes you out of the story, which has a past and a future, heavy past and future. So you discover the beauty of living to a large extent, if not 100%, it doesn't, if you only live 50% free of the story, or less, 50% of your life, 30%, you live, you while you go from here to there, while you sit at home, while you wait for something to happen, stepping out of the story and just be with this moment. And discover the depths of this moment, the aliveness of this moment, both within and without, and the beauty of this moment. This could happen while you're seriously ill and might be waiting in a hospital room for treatment, and you become totally and utterly present. And there's a little potted plant with leaves, intensely alive, which you see when you don't bring in mental labels, which you see without the personal relationship, just that. Wow. And in that alertness, there is also a stillness. When the story isn't running through your mind, that dimension that is space and stillness is suddenly there. That frees you from you as the story-based sense of self. So you can step out of it by using, one could say, various exit points. It's a good thing that within your life situation, the dream that is ultimately your life situation, as Shakespeare said, we are such stuff as dreams are made of. Here one day, gone the next, fleeting events. Within the dream of your life situation, if you look here and there, you find little doors that say exit. And you are more likely to look for them when you get unhappy within your life situation than when you're happy. But that changes quickly anyway. The unhappiness comes after an interlude of happiness. Suddenly the candle isn't lit anymore. And then you start looking, you can start looking for the exit signs. Wouldn't that be wonderful in a nightmare if you remember that in that nightmare, all you have to do is look for the little luminous sign that says exit. And you find one sign is the exit that says sense perception exit. Another sign is the exit written underneath. It says yes. And then another sign is there's an exit where it says inner body. You can take any. And if you go, it doesn't matter which exit you go through, you end up in the same place. Another exit that's not yet available for everybody, but for some, for some of you, that is already there. For some, it's not yet there, but that's okay. That exit says, stop thinking. Just that. Stop thinking. When you discover that, but you discover it through first to use the other exits. But then you discover within yourself you can actually choose to simply be present with what is. Without the interference of thought, you choose presence. You choose to not think. It's The whole dream has come to a stop. And the strange thing is, no matter what exit you use, through it you access that which is beyond the phenomenal. And miraculously, it influences the fact that you are rooted in the unmanifested with one foot in it. Miraculously influences the way in which the manifested unfolds for you. That means to say, the way in which the what you call your reality, your life, your world, the way in which you experience life on an external level changes, is influenced strongly by the fact that you are rooted in the depths of your being, in the spaciousness of presence and the stillness of presence. That does something. It's not that the two realms are totally separate. They are not. Something from the unmanifested flows, and this may sound paradoxical, but that's how it is. It's when we use language, it begins to sound paradoxical. Something from the unmanifested flows into the world of manifestation and makes it more benevolent. The way in which it unfolds has a benevolence, it is more benign. Yes, there are still polarities, but what is lost is the harshness and the violence that otherwise is inherent in the polarities. And so the phenomenal then unfolds with more gentleness. And yes, this is the only way in which what that really means, love, flows from that dimension into the world of form. Because love is never derived from anything in the world of form. It doesn't come out of form. It comes from the formless. And so that's the only way in which love can come into your true love. And that true love is to look upon anything without thought is the flow of love.